live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Cenk Uygur, Anna Kasparian is back, everybody. From, you want a little? Okay, all right, great.
Yep.
From Hawaii. I have a million announcements and we have a million stories. Welcome to the Young Turks. That's usually how we roll. Mm-hmm. It is, of course, the day before the election. And I have to tell you, I'm feeling two things right now. One is nervous, and the other is angry. And the anger is about the cheating that the Republicans are currently doing right now as we speak. Most notably in the state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. Outrageous what they're doing in Georgia. So as always, they always cheat. They always cheat. And they have this trick where they do something wrong and then they accuse the Democrats of it immediately. So that when you accuse them of it, they're like, oh, you're just trying to copy us. Like, and I'll tell you more about those tricks when we get to that story a little bit. Brian Kemp, one of the worst guys in the country, one of the worst politicians, and he's cheating in four different ways in an incredibly tight election in Georgia. If you know anyone in Georgia, you got to get them motivated to go vote against Brian Kemp. It's not just that he's a bad guy and we don't agree with him on policies. If you allow guys like that, they ruin our democracy. Mm-hmm. He's a rampant cheater. And if he's the governor, God knows how else he's gonna cheat. Okay, so also potential cheating in Texas and Kansas. And then of course, not only does the press call it 50-50, but usually they just repeat Republican talking points and it's impotent Democrats never accuse the Republicans of actually cheating, which is what they do. So I'll get to that. As you can tell, I'm worked up today. There's a day before the election. My God, right now in the Senate races, there are so many that are right on the edge, but particularly Missouri, Nevada, and Indiana. Couple of votes could make the difference in those three states, let alone all the others. So look, do I like those, and Arizona, that's four states, razor thin, right? So do I like those candidates? I can't stand Joe Donnelly, I can't stand Kyrsten Sinema. You gotta go vote for them. And I'll tell you, look, I told you a million times, primaries, I wish we had great progressive candidates in there. But you cannot let those Republicans control the Senate. If they control the Senate, look, I wrote an op-ed today, tyt.com/stories. They're here, the fascists are here, okay? We're gonna talk about it right in the beginning. Four different right-wing terrorist attacks in the last 2 weeks. So Anna, you weren't on the show on Friday. We're talking about the caravan, and I think it was Brooke who said, hey, maybe we should help the caravan, because Ted Cruz had made up a lie about how Beto O'Rourke was funding the caravan, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, but maybe we should, like, not fund it to bring it here, but I mean, those are some of the poorest, most downtrodden people on the planet. Maybe we should send them blankets, etc. But if we did, there's a great chance that somebody would send a bomb here. That's the state of the country. Mm-hmm. You know, look, we didn't talk about it, but Francis Maxwell does the breakdown for us. Caesar, the guy who sent all the bombs, Volk.
Soyak or something.
Soyak, right? Thank you. Francis was one of his top targets on Twitter, constantly attacking him. Sent like a decapitated goat's head to a picture to him on Twitter, right? So they're fascist and they're here. They chanted the Jews will not replace us. And the president said there are good people on that side. He said there's good people on that side. And he's out there encouraging violence today.
Today.
We got that in the story. Right? And then somebody went and then they murdered someone in Charlottesville. And he said there are good people on the Nazi side who chanted blood and soil and the Jews will not replace us. Then they went and shot 11 people in a synagogue in Pittsburgh. And we're supposed to just be calm. And we're like, they say the press is too tough. I mean, read my editorial. Press is not nearly tough enough on them. Okay, you could tell, man, I'm agitated. All right, now look, let me move on to some good news and then we'll get to the actual stories here that got me worked up. So I got a special announcement for you guys in the special election coverage tonight. So that's 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock Eastern tonight. We're gonna preview a lot of those elections. We're gonna talk more about what I mean by the cheating, what I mean by how close the races are. We're gonna have a bunch of great folks join us. Ben's gonna be here, Anna, John, but also we got some special guests. Omar Benson Miller, Tommy Chong, Rosanna Arquette, Rob Hubel. They're all coming into the studio and helping to get out the vote for us and tell you about those important elections that are coming up. That's tonight. That's tonight. 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock after this main show, okay? And we're gonna get into some of the ballot measures as well. Anna and John are doing a special on that tomorrow. Now tomorrow it's a blockbuster, at least 12 hours straight, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, right here, tyt.com/live. Look, I love YouTube and Facebook. They help spread our message to hundreds of millions of people. But the problem with those outlets is that they're based on algorithms. So we might do stuff and you never even get it, right? So if you're a member, you get everything, tyt.com/join, right? But if you're not a member, watch on tyt.com, because then you know that you're getting everything, right? And so make sure you're watching on tyt.com/live tomorrow, because we're a bunch of great guests for you guys in the morning. John and I start on Damage Report at 1 p.m. Eastern, okay? Then it gets to Aggressive Progressive, then John and Anna do the ballot measures, and then we got the show, and then we got the election coverage. And look, man, if those close elections go the other way, I'm gonna be furious, right? On the other hand, if the wave is real, and I think it is, we're gonna wipe them out. We're gonna wipe them out, and we're gonna rescue democracy. So I don't know that I've ever been this excited about any election. Midterm election's not even close. They're all overhyped, right? And when generally they follow patterns, right? This one is not overhyped. The fascists are here, and you gotta do something about it. You gotta go and vote tomorrow, okay? So, but the special announcement is not about any of that, and it happens at the top of tonight's special election coverage, extended coverage for you guys. All right, now two cutesy things. One, Anna, while you've been gone, we've been promoting our competition for signing up through the different hosts. Mm-hmm. So,
and you had an advantage over me because I've been away on vacation, so yeah. I have not been promoting it at all.
Well, that's your problem for not doing it when you're on vacation. Mm-hmm. Okay, do you know what the results are?
I have heard very good news for myself, not so good news for you.
Oh, okay, now that was on Friday. I have new numbers in. I don't know how you're doing it. You're still winning by a lot.
I love you guys. I also don't know how I'm doing it. I didn't expect this. And you know, just to give you some more inside baseball, when this was announced internally, this competition, I was very vocal and very much against it because I did not want to compete against my friends and other hosts. And more importantly, like the added stress is a little too much considering how much we all have on our plates right now. And so you guys are amazing. I don't know what encouraged you to sign up through tytnetwork.com/Anna, but I really appreciate it. And it's given me one of the most important and one of my favorite opportunities, which is to rub things in Cenk's face. So I will be doing that as long as I'm winning.
Okay, and she's winning despite the fact that she gets the website wrong. tyt.com/Anna. Anyway, oh. I think TYT Network still works, but anyway, you see it right there. By the way, I'm still holding on to a lead over John, and here comes Hassan. He's turning it on, and I told Francis about it this weekend. Of course, we're the worst in informing people. Once Francis turns it on, though, we might all be toast. So that dude is super competitive. So brace for impact. Okay. Anyway, last thing is about my son, Pro, on a super lighter note. I don't know if I was supposed to do this. And normally I might save this for a post game for the members, etc. But I showed him the Ojeda ad. Okay.
What did he do?
So he's going around the house now going, "How dare she?" He's 8 years old. And I say, "Bro, whose fault is it?" And he goes, "Karen Miller."
That's amazing.
So, and you know, on one more thing about the elections, we're gonna cover so many different progressive headquarters, campaign headquarters on facebook.com/rebelHQ. And unfortunately, we had to pull out a Ben Jealous one, and I'll tell you why. Emma's really sick, so she can't make it out. And Eric Beiler was gonna go cover Ben Jealous, but we pulled him to go to cover Ojeda. So,
dude, we gotta cover Ojeda.
We gotta cover him. He closed a 49-point lead. It's amazing.
By being himself.
Yes.
Being unapologetic.
If he loses, no one will ever remember or care. Like, you can say till you're blue in the face, hey, listen, he might have lost by 3 or he might have lost by 5, but hey, he still closed a 45-point advantage, right? Nobody cares. Like Bernie Sanders closed a 60-point lead on Hillary Clinton. No one cares. They're like, oh, did he win or did he lose? He lost, right? That's all they care about. So that's what Washington establishment will do. But if he wins, it is an inarguable point for populist progressives. And I swear to God, I'm gonna go down to Washington with him, and I'm gonna talk to other progressives and say, this is how you do it. Okay, not like Heitkamp. North Dakota, it's gone. It's gone. We're a day before the election. She's down 12 points.
Whoa. Right?
Oh, hey, she was a brilliant idea. She had this great idea. She'll run as Republican light and she'll kiss bankers' asses. Yeah, that plays well in North Dakota. What a stupid strategy that was. So that race is gone, okay? Go out and vote in North Dakota just in case there's a giant, giant wave, okay? But she blew it. And Donnelly should be way ahead. McCaskill should be ahead. Rosen should be way ahead in Nevada. Hillary won Nevada. What the hell's Rosen doing tied in Nevada? Why? She decided she's gonna run a pro-corporate campaign. So, God, they endanger our democracy because of their corruption. Anyway, but the Republicans, as usual, are legendarily worse. Okay. Woo!
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's what I gotta say to that.
It's right. Good to be back.
That's right.
All right.
All right, you know what? Let me give you one last piece of good.
Do you, boo.
All right. I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll. Okay, you guys gotta know the election's tomorrow.
I think
the good
know.
News, Trump has broken a record for lowest approval rating by a president heading into a midterm election. Okay, so he's at 39%. Some of the party's leads got wiped out with bad approval ratings for a president, including Obama. Obama's at 46% when the Democrats famously got shellacked by the Republicans. He was at 46% and they got destroyed. Trump's at 39%. He's at 39%. They should be destroyed tomorrow. But by the way, there's the visible wave and the hidden wave. In the special election coverage, I'll talk about that distinction. Because the visible wave is, we can already see it. We already see the results of it. But is there a hidden wave? All right, we'll talk about that in a couple hours. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. Last Friday evening, there was a shooting in a yoga studio. And what we know about the shooter so far is that he was apparently a right winger, possibly a member of the incel community, meaning that he was involuntarily celibate. And unfortunately, this shooting did lead to the deaths of 2 individuals. So this gunman opened fire inside the yoga studio in Tallahassee, Florida, and shot 6 women. He also pistol whipped a man in the studio as well. He killed 2 people, including a doctor and a college student, before eventually turning his gun on himself. In regard to the man that he pistol whipped, the reason why he did that was because when his gun jammed, the man took a broomstick and started attacking the shooter in an effort to get him to stop or to leave. And unfortunately, he was attacked by getting pistol whipped as a result of that. Now, what we know about the shooter is as follows. He had a history of harassing young women and had expressed misogynistic and racist views online, including sympathy for the anti-women incel movement. In fact, he had gotten arrested a couple of times for sexually assaulting women, including in one case, going up to a woman who was sunbathing, grabbing her butt and slapping it. His name is Scott Paul Beerley, and he was a substitute middle school teacher, which is terrifying. He also was a Florida State University graduate and Army veteran with a history of harassing young women, including 2 arrests for groping. So I wanted to give you some information about the two women who lost their lives as a result of this monster. But before I do that, I just want to go to you, Cenk. There's been a number of violent right-wing attacks in the country. One of the more recent ones was the synagogue shooting that claimed the lives of 11 people. Yeah. And it's right-wing violence that has gone ignored and has been encouraged by our president over and over again.
Okay, so that's four right-wing terrorist attacks in the last 2 weeks. That's it, last 2 weeks, four right-wing attacks. So this guy's absolutely right-wing. God, they equivocate in the press so much because they're so worried about the precious sensitivities of the right wing, because they love to cry and cry. You know, what you should be crying over is the actual victims who are murdered, not about the people who feel aggrieved that these guys were all right wingers, and they were. He hated feminism, he attacked the left wing nonstop. He also was deeply racist, and he talked about how women who were in interracial relationships were had basically betrayed, quote, their blood. Okay. And so he was part of the FSU College Republicans. It was the only other group he was part of was called, quote, "We Are Conservatives." Gee, I wonder which side he was on. I can't quite tell.
I don't know, Cenk. We don't want to share any opinions here. We want to stick to the facts by not reporting the facts, right?
Yeah. So the other right-wing terrorists, obviously, the guy who sent the bombs to all the liberals and Democrats, the guy who shot up the synagogue in Pittsburgh. That guy thought Trump wasn't right-wing enough. Sometimes they shaded by saying he was against Trump. No, he loved what Trump was doing, but thought he wasn't extreme enough, that he needed to hate Jews just a little more, right? It's not like he was against Trump because he's a left-winger. No, he was extreme right-wing, right? And now, of course, these are all shooters and bombers, etc. So by definition, they're extreme right-wing. By definition, they're extreme, and they are part of the right wing. So, and then if you haven't heard of this, in Kentucky, a guy went to shoot black people in a church. The church was locked, so he went to a Kroger and shot two African Americans dead while yelling things about white supremacy. So also right wing. That's four in just 2 weeks. And they say, oh, but the left wing is sometimes too loud when they're talking to Mitch McConnell. And then what do they do? Mob, 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 mob. Okay, now, and whenever you say no, it's the right wing, and it's 70, even before these four attacks, 71% of the terrorist attacks in this country over the last 15 years that resulted in deaths were by right wing extremists. 71%, now that number's through the roof, where as far as number of deaths, it's probably over 90% now. But yet we somehow, they don't even call it 50-50. The press regurgitates right-wing crap nonstop. And so now why do I care that it's right-wing? God, they're here, man. This is terrorism. They terrorize you and they intimidate you. So now, if, for example, you wanted to help the people in the caravan, we talked about it on Friday's show. If you wanted to send aid to those people, because they're the most downtrodden people in the world, not that necessarily to come here, but my God, they need blankets, they need food, etc. Right? They're dirt poor, and they're running from violence. If you wanted to help them, one of these guys might send a bomb to your house. Well, that's how fascism takes hold. That when you try to do good for other people, when you stick up for other people, they terrorize you with violence. The Klan did it in this country earlier. Unfortunately, to great effect, they terrorized anyone who might want to even help African Americans in this country. And they did the lynchings and they said, know your place. And here we are again, a day before an election, and it's nonstop right-wing terrorist attacks. And so this guy, total goddamn loser. Now, I don't say that because he wasn't getting women. Look, the whole incel community, God, you guys are so stupid. What is that name? Involuntarily celibate. Yeah, I got news for you. We were all involuntarily celibate. It's not like people volunteered for it when we were growing up. You think my celibacy when I was in high school and large parts of college were because I volunteered for it? No, we couldn't. Okay, we've all been there, man. We've all been there. That doesn't mean you go murder women. You're not a loser because you can't get women. We've all been there, right? Almost all of us. You're a loser if you can't get women or any other thing that's wrong in your life, and you blame others for it. And then you attack them and you murder them. That's what makes you a loser.
Just quickly going back to the way the press covers this type of violent, you know, these types of violent events. It's always really fascinating to me who the press is comfortable calling entitled and uncomfortable calling entitled. So the incel community, particularly guys like Scott Burley, who goes into a yoga studio and murders people because he can't get laid, he thinks he's entitled to women having sex with him, even though, you know, he won't take responsibility for his flaws, for what he can improve, those types of things. But the press has no problem calling Americans who might want better economic opportunities entitled, or millennials who want a more affordable education entitled. Like, they have no problem calling those groups of people entitled, but this kind of guy who is literally feeling like he's entitled to women giving their bodies to him, they won't call him entitled.
No, they're scared to death of the right wing.
The cowardice
of the press is deeply depressing. So, I mean, you order an avocado toast, they're gonna call you entitled. These guys go murder people because they're saying, what, I should have all the women. And the blacks shouldn't have the women, I should have them. I'm entitled to women. Oh my God, I'm involuntarily celibate. When in reality, of course, they should all come to me. And you don't call that entitled because, oh my God, you might hurt the sensibilities of the right wing. Oh my God, you don't want to offend them. So I talked about it on social media today, and they all immediately come to cry. Their favorite thing in the world is crying. So they're like, oh, how could you say they're right wing? They're obviously right wing. God damn it, he's in a group called We Are Conservatives. Not every single one of these guys is a right winger in these string of attacks. Well, and then you guys still cry like, oh no, no, no. What do you mean? And then you blamed all of us because somebody was talk loudly to Mitch McConnell. So please spare me your crocodile tears. When you smeared the left a million times over and the press aided and abetted you, okay? I'm tired of it. Now we're gonna get to the victims in a second. It is heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is heartbreaking. And before we do it though, I also wanna make a point about how, you know, conservatives, right wingers, the Republican Party overall, they hate when anyone, whether it's people doing commentary or members of the media, talk about the political affiliations of these violent attackers, right? Of these terrorists. But let's just go back a couple of years and think about how these are the same individuals who had no problem lumping in every Muslim with radical terrorists.
That's a great point, Anna. 1.6 billion people they put into the same camp as Al-Qaeda and ISIS and didn't have a qualm about it. Didn't think about it for a second. And by the way, look at the fascists that are in this country. And it's not just the people doing the attacks. What did they do? First, they isolated one religion and said, well, no, but they had it coming for their actions. And they judged 1.6 billion people based on the actions of a tiny, 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 tiny percentage, right? And then when you turn around, you go, but wait a minute, guys. Trump is cutting the Department of Homeland Security budget for looking into white right-wing extremists. And so I'm not doing it to blame all right-wingers, and I'm not doing it to blame all white people. It would be preposterous, right? We're doing it because we actually want you to follow the right-wing extremists because they are doing terrorism. Then they go, how dare you? You've hurt my feelings. Hurt your feelings? I mean, how many terrorist attacks does it take for you to realize there is significant right-wing extremists in this country? And so what do the fascists do that support these guys? They go, the Muslims, they're bad religion, let's separate them. Then they came for the Latinos, then they came for the trans, and they came for gay people, and they came for these different groups. This is the textbook fascism. You're sitting right in the middle of it. And then if you go to help people, well, we might kill you, we might murder you, so you better not act. You better not support other people. Right? And all aided and abetted by all these lunatics on the internet, on the right wing, and the guys wearing the MAGA hats going, don't actually find out the real problem. Blame people who didn't do it. Blame the caravan. The caravan's hundreds of miles away. None of them have any weapons. None of them did anything. You want to talk about safety? You cowards. I know you bathe in fear. You're like, oh my God, I'm afraid of Latinos. Latinos are Muslims, I'm so afraid. No, the murderer is right next to you and it's a right-wing extremist. But you don't wanna do anything about that. The murders are nonstop, the massacres. It's done with guns in this country. No, you kill my neighbor, I don't care. As long as it's not a Latino or a Muslim. That's fascism.
So I wanted to give you a few quotes from people who actually knew the shooter, because it gives you a sense of how people felt about him and how uncomfortable he made people feel. In fact, one male FSU student who was roommates with him in 2011 told USA Today, quote, "He was very weird and made everyone uncomfortable, particularly with regards to women." And that was a common theme among everyone who was quoted in various articles, people who knew him, people who had interacted with him. There was one woman who was sexually assaulted by him and she did not report it to the cops, and now she feels, and she shouldn't, but she feels a great deal of remorse and regret because she thinks maybe if I had reported it and he got arrested, this shooting wouldn't happen. But I do want to talk about the women who lost their lives. One of those women was Dr. Van Vessem. She was a well-respected chief medical director for Capital Health Plan and also a faculty member at the nearby Florida State University. And there's a photo of her. So unfortunately, she lost her life at the hands of this terrorist. Also, Mara Binkley is a 21-year-old, or was a 21-year-old, and a fourth generation legacy student at FSU, where she was double majoring in German and English. She was hoping to get a job with Teach for America after graduating next May.
So I read the stories of, they talked to her dad. Imagine, man. And they had to tell him how your daughter was gunned down by a guy who was bitter that he couldn't get dates. And so he just randomly murdered your daughter. And I look at Dr. Van Vessem. I mean, she was leading 450 medical professionals, doing great work. She went to go do yoga one day. And some madman walks in and murders her. Her whole family now has to suffer, everybody around her, etc., because some idiot, and this is an important part, guys, got egged on. It's not like there weren't guys who couldn't get dates before. It's not like there weren't people who were rabidly against the left before. It's not like there weren't deeply anti-Semitic people before. But they're egged on and egged on, not just by Trump, but by people online going, oh, you're right, women are the problem, women are the problem. Yeah, hey, somebody gonna do something about it, women are the problem, right? And there are lunatics in the country. And now they're all armed and they're all encouraged online. Yeah. And so now he goes in and goes, oh great, I'll murder this doctor and this poor girl. And there's four other people that got hurt, and then the guy who also got hurt, the four were shot. Two of them are still in the hospital. The others are out, two still in the hospital. We hope to God they're okay. All gunned down because people online are like, oh, you're right, man. It's not you. I mean, get a load of the right wing that pretends that they care about personal responsibility. It isn't never your fault. It's always someone else's fault. This killer, in this case, also wrote articles against the Muslims because they were too violent. Let's note that irony. And against gay people. It's never your fault. It's the gay people, it's the Muslim people, it's the Jewish people, it's women, etc. And so now, because of his insecurities fed by his cohorts online, his fellow lunatic right wingers online, these people are dead.
And look, I went to an event over the weekend, and it was a political event, a fun one, you know, nothing too serious. But I noticed as I was walking into the building that there were no metal detectors, and I got very uncomfortable and even considered maybe I shouldn't be here. And that's what terrorism is. It makes you rethink the way you live your life because you worry about violence, you fear for your life, and we shouldn't be living in a country like that. I mean, this is America, and when Trump was running, he argued that he was gonna keep America safe. But we have seen a rise in violence, we've seen a rise in right-wing extremism in the country, and it's terrifying. And that's the reason why this election tomorrow is so important. We need to get real leaders back in office. All right, and one other thing I want to just quickly mention, Cenk, you know, referenced it, but I want to give you the details. The Trump administration has significantly cut funding for organizations that fight right-wing extremism. And you know, two of the organizations do really, really great work. One of them focuses on helping people who used to be part of white supremacy groups, helping them get out of those groups and go back into the real world. And grants for those programs have been cut. So let's go to graphic 13. The grants were administered by the Office of Community Partnerships. And in Obama's last year, the office boasted 16 full-time employees, roughly 25 contractors, and a budget of more than $21 million. The Trump administration has renamed it the Office of Terrorism Prevention Partnerships, but has cut its staff to 8 full-time employees and its budget to less than $3 million. So those organizations that were promised money to help combat extremism will not be getting the money that they were promised because the Trump administration decided to cut that funding.
So they, by the way, two of the groups that they cut funding for entirely is Life After Hate. They're devoted to helping people leave neo-Nazi and other white supremacy groups. But Trump doesn't want people leaving those groups. Look, his actions are even louder than his ugly words. When white supremacists killed Heather Heyer in Charlottesville, he said there's good people on that side. And but forget, even if you say, oh no, you guys are too sensitive. I love when he says things about how Nazis are good people and encourages anti-Semitism and bigotry and hatred against Muslims, Latinos, and said, oh, you guys are too sensitive. Well, this is an action. He took the budget fighting against terrorism from 21 million in that case down to 3 million. And he said, oh, if you're fighting white supremacists, I don't want it. I don't want you to fight white supremacists. He wiped out that budget entirely. So Life After Hate, their budget is gone. Researchers at the University of North Carolina who are helping young people develop media campaigns aimed at preventing people from embracing white supremacy and other violent ideologies. They're like, no, I don't want you to do that. His actions speak louder than words. Apparently, he doesn't mind if you join white supremacists and neo-Nazi groups because he just wiped out the budget that would prevent that. So,
and if you want to argue,
there's one other thing I want to say, okay, but go ahead.
But if you want to argue that, hey, you know, he's just trying to save money, taxpayer money. First of all, this is not where you'd want to, you know, shortchange any program, especially right now with all the extremism and violence we're seeing in the country. But more importantly, he's fighting tooth and nail for $11 billion for a border wall that's not even going to work, right?
Yeah, guess what, Trump? The danger is not outside the wall. The danger is here,
exactly,
inside. And it's by your people, right-wing extremists that you encourage daily. He called for violence. Trump called for violence again today, a day before the election. All right, one more thing. By the way, to buttress Anna's point, you know, this is from the Department of Homeland Security. But did he cut Department of Homeland Security for budget reasons? No. He actually increased their budget by 7% in his first budget and 4% in his second budget. So he said increase Department of Homeland Security, but cut the part of the Department of Homeland Security that fights against white supremacists and Nazis. How's that for a decision? By the way, who's the person who is inside that group and partly leading this effort? That's the second point I wanted to make. Sebastian Gorka's wife. Now, I say Sebastian Gorka's wife, she's actually worse than him, only because you might know Sebastian through television and she's not on TV as much. But she's a more important and vile creature. Her name is Catherine Gorka. She has proposed, she's helped to cut the funding to fight Nazis. Her idea instead was let's close down some mosques in America and let's close down Al Jazeera in America. So you're gonna fight against places of worship and media, but not fight against the actual terrorists. Oh, Nazis, not a big deal. But let's go close down random mosques. That's who these people are. And she's still an advisor to the Secretary of Homeland Security. She's in the government making sure that we don't fight against Nazis. That's what the Trump administration is. Wake up. You think the press is tough on him? Not nearly tough enough. If you knew the facts, if they shared the facts with you guys, you'd realize the guy, of course he's a white supremacist. He says it every day and then he acts on it. He encourages them daily and will not spend money to fight against them. Guy's a goddamn monster.
We gotta take a break. When we come back, we will discuss the more recent way that Trump has encouraged violence and also how militia groups, civilian militia groups are going to the border fully armed.
That'll turn out great. All right, we'll talk about that when we come back. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. All right, bunch of comments. First member section, Yabby Marita writes in, if Ojeda wins, establishment Dems will still find a way to say he is, quote, unrealistic, despite the fact that he literally won a seat they decided was unwinnable. Of course they will. You're 100% right, Yabby. Doesn't matter. We don't need them. We just need to primary them. Ruth, the dog-faced girl, says, thank you for covering the yoga killing. Sometimes I think that hate crimes against women get overlooked because
we need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, you must unlearn what you have learned. And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
It is so ingrained in our society. But you know what? That Kroger shooting at Kentucky was also overlooked. And it's just like we've gotten used to it. Like, oh yeah. And the press won't call it what it is because they're so afraid of being called liberal. And so that guy shouting racial stuff with another right winger. Oh no. What if they say we're liberal? God, I'm so frustrated. All right, Eclectic Miscellanea on Twitter says, who would have thought that 2 years ago that we'd be talking about multiple domestic terror attacks by fascists in America on the eve of an election? I knew Trump was going to be bad, but never expected it would get to this point.
Right.
Here we are. But it's the slowly boiling frog, you know? Oh yeah, he says something crazy, he says something funny, he says something terrible. Oh, he says something violent, terrible, crazy, violent, etc. Oh, the bombing started and then the people getting beat up in the streets. But they blamed a group called Antifa. What does that stand for? The anti-fascists. Why? They threw a water bottle or they did this or they did that process. The real problem is anti-fascist, not the fascist. And we boil and we boil and we boil.
I think about Handmaid's Tale all the time because in that show, there are flashbacks to when things started to go bad, but people were still complacent or people thought, oh, you know, there were a lot of excuses. Like, it's not gonna get worse. This is just an isolated incident. And it scares me because I don't wanna get to a point where we can't go back, the point of no return.
And Anna, so that's why I'm so animated today, because the point of no return is when they do enough violence to intimidate everyone else from speaking out. And then they could cheat in the elections all they want and nobody's gonna speak out. They could do anything they want and nobody's gonna speak out. And then you're done. You think that in Germany, they all came out and immediately said, oh, we're gonna kill all the Jews and we're gonna do all these terrible things and we're gonna kill the Roma and we're gonna kill the Poles and we're gonna kill all these people? No, they said, no, it's gonna be okay, they're the problem. The ones fighting us are the violent ones. They're the terrorists. They're the ones we have to attack. And remember, it's the bad guys. It's the Jews. It's these guys. They're the ones that can secretly control everything. Well, it's actually not an analogy. They literally say George Soros controls everything now, and he's the one we have to attack. How quickly did they go from Muslims to Jews? In under 2 years, right?
Yeah.
And here we are. And nobody will say the emperor has no clothes, or in this case, that the emperor is a fascist. And he is. He is. So you think he gives a damn about democracy? He'd end it in 1 second flat. 1 second flat. All he cares about is power. He's a megalomaniac. Okay, I can go on and on. All right, 21 Lori in YouTube Super Chat says, I'm in Jersey. No one I know is excited about Menendez. I'm so upset the Dems did not push him out. If you're a progressive, they'll push you out in a second. You're a corrupt establishment politician like Menendez, they're like, oh great. They're spending now millions of dollars more. They're taking away from tight races in other places to put into Menendez's race. Because there's some chance he'll lose New Jersey in a blue wave year. No. God forbid you should put a progressive in there. Let's just put a guy that is actually corrupt as our candidate in New Jersey. That's the only way you can lose that seat. Corporate Democrats snatching defeat from the jaws of victory for the last 20 years straight. So, man, they're frustrating. But guys, we got to take the battle one step at a time. This is really, really important. We have to defeat the fascists first. Then we'll move on to the establishment and the primaries. And believe me, 2019 and 2020, there will be an unbelievable amount of political fighting within the left and the Democratic Party. All this kumbaya crap is not gonna hold for a second. The minute these elections are over, they're gonna attack us viciously, okay? And I'm ready for that. But we gotta take out the fascists first. That is the immediate threat. So I don't care about voting for Democrats. I care, just go and vote against every goddamn Republican. There are no moderate Republicans. When are you gonna get that through your head? There are no moderate Republicans. I know, I was a moderate Republican. I left with my hair on fire decades ago. There are no moderate Republicans. All right, last one.
Well, one quick comment on that. I mean, it's the Lannisters and the Starks teaming up to go after the White Walkers. Mm-hmm. We gotta go after the White Walkers.
Yes, that is the immediate threat. Mm-hmm. End the White Walkers first, then we'll get to the goddamn Lannisters. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Cabbage writes it on Twitter, last one. The Reich Wing has worldwide support in virtually every top tier country. Progressives have TYT. So look guys, we're gonna launch a new campaign as early as the next segment, okay? But if we're not around, who do you think they're gonna say this on MSNBC? They're still having tea on MSNBC. I mean, of all the people, and I guess because he's a Republican, Joe Scarborough actually takes it to Trump more than anybody else does.
It's insane.
Everybody's having crumpets at MSNBC. Fascists are here and they're having tea and goddamn crumpets. And then when the internal fights begin, which side do you think MSNBC is gonna be on? Progressive side or the corporate side? Are you kidding me? Let alone CNN, let alone all the rest of them. Imagine a world without TYT. There's no one left to defend you, at least in online video. Mother Jones will write an article or two. Intercept does a great job. I'm not minimizing those folks. But online video, where the real battle is, get hundreds of millions of views. And unfortunately, people don't read the articles that much. And so, tyt.com/join, guys. It's not a joke, it's real. We need to make sure that they cannot take this away from us. So, if we're not sustainable, God knows what happens. TYT.com/join. All right, and if you can, do TYT.com/gift. Give the gift to other people in any way that you can help. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. Donald Trump has gone to fear-mongering about the migrant caravan as a way of drumming up his base, exciting them and getting them to vote in the midterms. But unfortunately, while doing so, he has encouraged civilian militia groups to go to the border fully armed and take action. Now, before I give you the details on that, just to give you a sense of how Trump has fear-mongered about these migrants, he has insisted that there are unknown Middle Easterners traveling with them, which was not true. Very tough fighters, again, not true. And large numbers of violent criminals are traveling among the women and children and families heading north on foot. Again, none of this is true. These are people who are fleeing violence from their own countries in search for safety. Again, many of them are women and children. But nonetheless, he has now encouraged armed civilians to show up at the border and try to fight this battle themselves, which could prove to be dangerous and violent. So the Texas Minutemen, that's one of the militia groups, have about 100 volunteers who are planning on showing up to the border, and they wanna help stop the migrants, with more likely on the way. And that's according to the head of this group, a man by the name of Shannon McGulley. Now, he was asked, whether his group planned to deploy weapons. And Shannon Migoli laughed. He said, this is Texas, man, because they can't wait to use their weapons.
So look, I'm not sure I know anyone tougher on Republicans than us. And I think that a lot of them share culpability for the extreme right wing, especially the ones that encourage it online. And again, the MAGA guys that encourage the violence and celebrate it as Donald Trump calls for it over and over again. Donald Trump calls it an invasion. So they're grabbing their guns to go meet the invaders. Does anybody in the caravan have weapons? No, nobody does. Are there Muslims in the caravan? First of all, so what if there were? But no, there aren't any Muslims. It's a lie. It's a lie, 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 over and over again from Donald Trump. So here they come with weapons now. But to be fair to the Republicans in Texas, most of the folks living down by the border that the Washington Post talked to were Republicans. And they said, we don't want them here. Right. And why don't they want them here? Well, several of them explained, look, those are the most trigger happy guys in the country. So they're coming with weapons. And what if one of them sees something that they view to be suspicious or someone looking to grab a weapon? It's Texas, as the guy said, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's got weapons. What if they start firing? Now, let me go further and back up those Republicans in Texas that are worried, okay? Or concerned about this. I think they're rightfully concerned. I'll get to you a great quote from one of them in a minute, okay? But now imagine a scenario where one of these yahoos goes down there and sees what he perceives to be a threat because he can't wait. He starts shooting. Now the National Guard's been warned, the military's put out a memo, we'll explain about that more in a second, saying, hey, watch out for these guys, okay? Make sure they're not doing anything outside the law, right? Apparently, sometimes they steal from the National Guard. Okay, so if they start firing at the caravan or people that they think are the caravan, and the National Guard tells them to stand down, or our military tells them to stand down and they won't stand down, what if the military has to fire at them? And then they're all heavily armed, and then they turn around and fire back. This is an epic disaster waiting to happen.
So let's talk a little bit about how the military is preparing for this. Remember, Trump wanted the military to take action, and the Pentagon was like, no. So that's the reason why you now have vigilantes and civilian militias trying to take action on their own, which again is gonna be a disaster if they plan on doing what they say they're gonna do. Now, according to military planning documents obtained by Newsweek, the military is concerned about the arrival of unregulated militia members self-deploying to the border in alleged support of US Customs and Border Protection. And the reason why they are worried is because of the violence. But again, as Cenk alluded to earlier, they've been known to steal weapons from members of our military. And yes. So it's a disaster, and the people who live in that area don't want them there. And I have a bunch of those quotes in a minute as well. Go ahead, Cenk.
There's the Border Patrol, and then there's the National Guard. And so those are the guys that have got the military memo saying, be careful about these militia guys. They could cause trouble, sometimes for you guys, because that's literally happened before, but mainly they can cause chaos, which makes your job more difficult, not less difficult.
Yeah, and by the way, that military planning document also said, quote, they operate under the guise of citizen patrols, the report said, while warning of incidents of unregulated militias stealing National Guard equipment during deployments. Now, let's go to the Republicans who live in the area, and by no means do these people want open borders. They see immigration as a problem as well, but they also see these unregulated civilian militias as a huge problem. One of those people is Michael Vickers, and he says they are a bunch of guys with a big mouth and no substance to them. Lucy Cruz also says, I will not let militia on my land. They're civilians stepping into a situation where the Border Patrol is supposed to be in control and make decisions. They could damage property or harm workers. I would guess they would be trigger happy. If they shot someone, they might just say the person they shot was reaching for a gun. Again, this is a Republican, and I find it fascinating that she said that toward the end, because that is oftentimes an excuse that we hear when an unarmed civilian here in the United States is shot and killed. And then Lucy Cruz also says the following, the militia just needs to stay where they are. We don't need fanatical people. We don't need anybody here with guns. Why do they have guns? I have dealt with illegals for 30 years and all of them have been scared asking for help. The militias need to stay up north where they belong. We have no use for them here. they might shoot someone or hurt someone.
By the way, sorry, that's not Lucy Cruz. That's Joe Metz. He's 80 years old. He's also a Republican. And so he calls them illegals, right? So it's not like he's a liberal of any sort at all. He's like, he's been dealing with the illegals for 30 years. But since he sees them, he knows that the propaganda isn't true. Like somehow they're like shadowy terrorists who are coming. Look at what he said. He said, all of them have been scared and asking for help for 30 straight years. Because they're coming here for hope and opportunity. And oftentimes running away from violence. They're not coming here on these made up nefarious purposes that Fox News and Donald Trump talks about. That's propaganda. That's nothing but lies. So even Republicans down there who don't want undocumented immigrants coming in, partly because they come to their land first, go, yeah, but keep it real. They're actually scared and poor people. So we don't need a bunch of guns in here to go run after these guys who are already in bad shape. We just need to enforce the law and make sure they don't come. So if that was the conversation we were having in this country, that would be a way healthier conversation and one we could actually have. Let's treat people humanely, but enforce our law. But no, whenever it's the right wing, they can't help themselves. So they got to grab their weapons. Some of them are heading down there. The others are reasonable. But most overall, the party and led by Donald Trump is not on the side of reason. It's on the side of encouraging people to take violent action themselves because the invaders are on their way, filled with terrorists and violent criminals, all based on lies.
We have to take a break. When we come back, Donald Trump calls for violence against groups who protest him. And later on, we will talk about the story that has enraged everyone, but especially Cenk, regarding Brian Kemp and his accusations against Democrats in the state of Georgia.
We have some announcements when we come back too. But that Kemp story, there's two angles to it about how he's cheating. That is just outrageous, outrageous. We'll do that when we return. We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at tyt.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment. All right, back on the Young Turks. One of 19 writes in from the members section, civilian militia groups, Trump's future brown shirts. Trump rallies are not about helping Republicans or even the midterms. It's about recruiting those ready to do violence on his behalf. The MAGA bomber wasn't a problem for Trump. It was a.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Confirmation that his fascist efforts are working. Meg writes in, a group of a couple thousand people can't quote unquote invade a country of over 300 million people. What does that mean, invasion, right? It's such a great point. Oh, here comes 2,000 people to invade 300 million people with no weapons.
There's a great line from House of Cards. I'm paraphrasing, I don't know the exact line, but it was something along the lines of, it's amazing how prepared people are to be scared.
Yeah.
And he's just fear-mongering. That's why he uses words like invasion. It scares people.
Yep. JP writes in, I worked with a guy that was a Minuteman. He made me afraid for people. All they want to do is shoot people they don't like. Now I'm going to go to Twitter real quick. R7YRB7 writes in, that Pentagon memo contained a very interesting statement. These unregulated militias, note the wording in relation to the Second Amendment. That is interesting. That's a really good point. In other words, if they have to confiscate their weapons, it's okay because they're not a well-regulated militia. Okay. And Dark King Zorro, and by the way, they're not going to do that systematically. They'd only do that if they start shooting. Okay. Dark King Zorro says, this is exactly what the black community has to deal with, how law enforcement acts around us. So that's also a very interesting perspective. All right, what I want to tell you guys about, along the lines of what we're discussing in the last segment, is as two things happen, this election, and we got to fight back against Trump and the Republicans who are at this point ascendant. Let's hope by 2 days they won't be. But in we're going to do a story about how the dirty tricks they're doing in Georgia, et cetera, to maintain their power. And then after this election, fighting for real progressives. So a lot of you guys asked for different ways that you could help. So in order to keep us sustainable, we wanted to give you one of those options. And this is really important to us. It's tyt.com/sponsor. And it allows you to buy bulk membership and give it to others. Okay, you can do one-by-one gifts. You can say, hey, I know Bob, or I want my mom to have it, or I want my brother to have it. That's tyt.com/gift. For this is, hey, you know what? I bought 10, I bought 100, whatever it might be. And you got a lot of different options, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, or recurring membership. And you could give it out to in a systematic way. You could give it out to people you know. Or you could just, if you meet a fellow progressive, you could write down the number that you get. You'll see in the process as you go through it. And just hand them the number. And then they go online, put the number in, and then they get a free membership thanks to you guys. You become their sponsor, okay? So rather than donating, which is also great, but if you buy people membership, they also at least, we get to spread the message and more people get to be exposed to it. So if you participate, we would deeply appreciate it, tyt.com/sponsor. All right, we'll talk more about it as the next 2 days come. And obviously in the next hour, we have a special election coverage coming up for 3 hours. Omar Benson Miller, Tommy Chong, Rosanna Arquette, Rob Hubel, me, Anna, John, Ben, we're gonna rotate and talk about all the really important elections that are coming up tomorrow. Okay, Anna, what's next? All right.
Over the last week, there have been a number of violent acts by right-wingers who have probably been motivated by someone like Donald Trump. We had an individual go into a synagogue and shoot up and unfortunately kill 11 Jewish people. We recently reported on a story regarding a man in Florida who went into a yoga studio and gunned down 2 women. And you would think that the leader of this country would understand the weight of his words, the importance of rhetoric and discourse in the country. But unfortunately, he is still condoning violence. And he just did it today during a rally in Georgia. Take a look.
The contrast in this election could not be more clear. Republicans produce jobs, Democrats produce mobs. You've heard that. You've seen it. You've seen it. You've seen it. Antifa. They take the helmet off and they take the armbands and you see these little arms, And then they see the clubs in their hands. You know, they're tough guys, right? Where are the bikers for Trump? Where are the? We've taken a lot. We've taken a lot, folks.
We've just had people murdered in the name of right-wing extremism that's been motivated by someone like Donald Trump. And he has the audacity to say, we've taken a lot. I mean, in the first year of his presidency, we had a protester who was run over by a Nazi. And you want to talk about how, Trump supporters and Trump himself, like they've been the real victims here. I mean, come on. And in the same statement, he's talking about how Antifa consists of small armed wimps. So what is it? Are they violent or are you scared of them? Because I'll tell you something, what I'm more afraid of is you sanctioning the type of violence that we've seen in the country over the last week.
Yeah, so there's been 4 right-wing terrorist attacks in the last 2 weeks. So the synagogue shooting, the bomber, you had a guy shoot up black people in Kentucky, killed 2. And now the incel guy who's a right winger who killed 2 women in Tallahassee. And shot 6. And he comes out and he encourages more violence. And he says, where are my bikers for Trump? Like, oh, you should go after Antifa. They think they're tough guys. In other words, show them what the real violence that we can do. Because we didn't have enough violence in the last four attacks. We didn't have enough violence in the last couple of weeks. So you encourage more violence. And then he has the audacity to talk about left-wing mobs. You're in front of a mob and you're asking them to act like a mob. And then you turn around and call the left-wing mobs. You know what Antifa stands for? They should stop calling it Antifa. It stands for anti-fascist. So when the fascists in Charlottesville not only killed Heather Heyer, not only ran over 30 people, but they chanted blood and soil, a Nazi chant. And then they chanted, the Jews will not replace us. Some of them went by and scoped out a local synagogue. The Jewish people in that synagogue were afraid to go out and the cops couldn't come because they were too busy. And then Donald Trump said, there are good people on both sides. They were chanting, the Jews will not replace us, and they murdered someone. And he said, there are good people on that side. And you know, in that synagogue attack, there's a guy who's 80 years old. He was in a concentration camp when he was 7 years old. He survived the Holocaust. Every day he goes to that synagogue. When he goes, he's always on time, he said. That day he was just a little behind. He's 80 years old. He showed up a couple of minutes late and saw the shooting with his own eyes. If he showed up on time, the Nazis didn't get him in the Holocaust, but the fascists might have gotten him here. And this guy's still encouraging violence a day before the election. Where are my bikers? Why don't they do something about the anti-fascists? Why don't my fascists do something about the anti-fascists? The anti-fascists aren't strong enough, fascists. Show them how strong we fascists can be. Guys, absolutely sick. And every word out of his mouth is a lie. Oh, they don't know anything about jobs. The Republicans know about jobs. Bush crashed the economy. Obama brought back 8 million jobs. You're still riding on his coattails. And this guy's talking about how he knows jobs. Where are the wages? You said you'd improve people's lives. Wages have gone down under your watch. Where are they? All we've gotten is fear-mongering, hatred, division, loathing, and division. That's all we got from Donald Trump.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, Emma Viglin went to a Trump rally in Fort Myers, Florida, and asked these voters which issues they plan on voting for or on during the midterms.
Oh boy, here we go, Trump voters. Okay, see it with your own eyes, and we still have the Kemp story coming up. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.